Recorded live.
Good afternoon, everyone, and welcome to Talking Twilight Zone.
You open this door with the click of a mouse. Beyond it is a world of sound, thought, and opinion. In-depth discussions of television's greatest blending of science, superstition, imagination. And you're invited along. For the next 30 minutes, we'll be talking Twilight Zone.
Well, happy Saturday to everybody. I was having a few Skype problems there. I wasn't sure I'd get in here today, but I am
you
here.
Too. Hey, Rick.
Hey, guys.
Yep, you got knocked off, Lynn. Hello, everybody, and welcome to Talking Twilight Zone. I'm one of the hosts, Robert. Hello. Today, we have a full room, so it's kind of nice. I'd like to say hello to, while Lynn gets herself situated there, say hello to Bobby.
Howdy.
And to Dave. Hello, guys.
Howdy.
Say hello to Rick Wall. Welcome.
Hello.
Glad you were able to make it. Also, everybody in the text, Felix from New Jersey. Today, we're going to be talking about long-distance call. And before we get into that discussion, here is the promo from our buddy Rod.
Now, Mr. Serling.
Mr. Charles Beaumont and Mr. William Idelson deliver a story on your doorstep with the title Long Distance Call. It's uniquely a flesh and fantasy tale involving a small boy, a toy telephone, and the incredible faith of a child. I hope you're around at the usual time, which, depending on where you are, varies, and in the usual place, the one that never varies, the uncharted regions of the Twilight Zone.
It looks like we got Lynn back. You there, Lynn?
I'm here for now. I hope I stay in there.
Technology hates you today.
Oh, my God.
I think it's Grandma. She's interfering.
Or gremlin somewhere. Gotta watch out for those little burgers.
Bobby, Rick, and myself having problems with Skype. Well, we'll see how long it lasts, but I know I can count on Robert to cover this if something else happens. But anyway, Robert, did you welcome everyone today?
Yes, we did. We're on the
Menzie
summary.
And Felix,
Lynn.
Great. With yep. that? Okay, terrific. All right. Well, let's see. Long distance call. That's what we're doing today. And it's about little Billy Bales and his grandmother. And Billy and his grandmother are very close. They have an extremely strong bond. And she even thinks of him more as her son rather than a grandson, which bothers Billy's mother very much.
No, you're back.
Oh, okay.
Quickly before you go off again, Lynn.
I think you're thinking people during this on purpose. Oh, God.
Okay. I don't think Grandma likes the show today. I don't think I'm going to call
her. There's something in the Twilight Zone.
Because she knows at Christmas time she gets run over by a reindeer.
That's what it is. Right?
Yeah, that must be it.
Grandma got run over by a reindeer.
By reindeer. So anyway, she gives him the toy telephone and she says he can call her anytime, even when she's not around. And she can talk to he can talk to her on the toy phone. So a few hours later, Grandma croaks, and so Billy is very depressed. And after a short time, he starts spending all of his time talking into the toy telephone. He tells his parents that he's talking to Grandma, who's very lonely and wants him to visit her. So the parents they humor Billy at first, but when he starts to show suicidal tendencies, they take it more seriously. He throws a speeding car. He survives his mother that someone told him to do it. So when his mother grabs the phone from him one night and hears his grandmother.
You're off again.
Paula, trying to reconnect you.
You would think in this century, technology would be better in 2011. We still get the same crap we put up with the 70s and 80s and so on.
Am I back at all? Am I
now?
Now?
Yeah.
What?
I think you're going to be in and out, Lynn. Yeah.
I never had this problem with Skype before. I think it knocked me off once or twice in the past, but never like this. Well, anyway, to make a long story short, you know.
Yeah, quickly.
yes, very quickly. Billy gets mad because Mom threw this on the floor. He jumps into the pond, and he almost drowns, and he comes close to death. So the paramedics are working on the boy, and the father, who, you know, Grandma's actual son, goes upstairs, picks up the toy phone. He talks into it, pleading with the mother to let Billy live and grow up to experience the world. And he tells her if she really loves Billy, she'll let him live because he's only 5 years old. So Grandma finally lets go of Billy, and he pulls through against all odds, and now he can grow up and enjoy his life. So
hurrah!
There, that's it. So we made it through that summary. Okay, now let's see if we can just get through what I have to say about it real quick. Now, I actually like this episode a lot, and, you know, there were a lot of things going on. The grandmother was about as unsettling as can be. Now, the kid was too content talking to his dead grandma. I mean, you know, you'd think a kid would be freaked out by that, but he wasn't. I guess because they were so close. The kid's parents weren't sure what was happening. It was a very eerie story, and that's just fine because that's exactly what the Twilight Zone should be, unsettling and eerie. The grandmother in this episode had the old apron strings issue. She couldn't handle the fact that a woman took her only remaining son from her because apparently she lost her two other kids. And, you know, but is that surprising? No. You know, it's a storyline as old as TV itself. The mother who hates the daughter-in-law and the father who hates the son-in-law. And it brings to mind more relevant shows such as That Girl, All in the Family, Everybody Loves Raymond, where either the son's parents hate the daughter-in-law or the daughter's parents hate the son-in-law. It's just, you know, it's a story as old as time. But yet the grandparents, who can't seem to accept the daughter-in-law or son-in-law, absolutely adore the grandchildren, it always seems, you know, who amazingly enough would not exist except for those sons and daughters-in-law. So anyway, yeah, this was a crazy grandmother who gave Billy a toy phone for his birthday. That allowed him to call and talk to her, and the problem came when grandmom was trying to persuade him to kill himself so he could join her.
And what sane rational person would have this kind of technology like we do today?
You're off again.
You know, my mother went to Spain one year, and she came back, and she said, you know, with everything we got today, you can't compare anything like all the ancient walls of the cities and stuff are still standing after, like, thousands of years.
But we can't get technology to work, you know what? When we need it to.
Right. Exactly. So can you still hear me?
Yep. Yeah, you're back.
At the moment, yeah.
At the moment, okay. Well, anyway, the love the grandmother had for the kid, it was frightening, to say the least. You know, when he tried to drown himself in the pond, it was nuts. I thought that was a little too short a time for the boy to have drowned. It was like 15 seconds. But, however, I recently read that a person can drown within 30 seconds. It's possible to revive someone if they're young, especially if the water is very cold. But the best part of this episode was the son talking some sense into his mother at the end and making her realize that Billy's life wasn't hers to take. That was a very good heartfelt speech that he gave to the mother. Very touching. Philip Abbott was great as the husband who was torn between his devotion to two women, his wife and his mother, focusing in on herself. The mother of Billy had to deal with it. And it was an eerie, disturbing story of a somewhat dangerous love. And as far as the kids, they were all good. He was the consummate male child actor at that time period. And Lily Darvish, she played the obsessed grandmother with a perfectly ominous flair. So I was leaning toward giving this episode a 3 rating for good, but I realized that it has all the factors needed to be a very chilling Twilight Zone story. So my rating is a 4 for excellent. And now that I got half a dozen interruptions, over to Robert.
Yeah, you're making my work easy today, aren't you? I got to go through this. Well, as long as I can stay on talking, I kind of give this a relative low score. And the fact about this story is, here again, thank goodness this is it for the videotaping that they did. Poor.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's very poor quality.
Thank God, it was the last one.
Yeah, and they said, well, it shouldn't deduct points. It should be the story. That's the whole situation. And actually, the story is pretty good. And this is what a debate on this is this could have been, if it was really handled a lot better than it was, it could have been a classic, very close to it. But with just the problems that they had with this thing, I ended up giving it a 2 out of 5, and my reasoning behind that is, one thing that I would have loved to see was when the mother picks up the phone and she is talking to the dead grandmother, that you actually hear the dead mother's the dead grandmother's voice on the phone. It would have added a little more chill to the episode. But with that, unfortunately, was a missed opportunity that they really should have done something like that.
That might not have been a bad scene. I think that would have been good.
Yeah, and I mean, special effects and things at that time, it was relatively easy thing that they really could have done with something like that. But
yeah,
here again,
yeah.
Twilight Zone is known for sometimes missed opportunities, and unfortunately, this was one of them. Also, the whole thing, like Glenn said about Billy, you knew Billy was killing himself into the pond. As old Jed Clampett would say, the cement pond.
Cement pond.
The cement pond. Because in apartment buildings, that's, I think, is that what they lived in? It was an apartment building?
Who? Billy and his parents?
His parents, yeah.
They lived in
was
the
house. Was it a house?
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Okay. But, yeah, because they go out to the porch, and then there's the cement pond off to the side. So, but, yeah, and also the brilliant CPR that they were doing at that time, where the father goes upstairs and is talking on the toy phone, and either God or grandma or whoever felt that I agree with you and Billy should live out his life. And here again, all of a sudden, one moment it looks like he's dead and he's not coming back, and then all of a sudden we have, and I don't know if people watch Torchwood, almost Captain Jack moment where he breathes in and is back.
A miracle. It's a miracle.
It's a miracle. So, yeah, it's just little things like that this made me have to give this a 2, because, it's a story that could have been a whole lot better. But, here again, like I said, missed opportunities, things that was done in the story, even the babysitter, another contentious thing with this one, because you are responsible for the person that you are trying to watch. Now, if we watch past movies, Halloween and stuff like that, you always know the babysitter is occupied more than watching the kid, that they're actually talking to their friend, talking to their boyfriend, happily sneaking them in, doing some things,
being distracted. Yeah.
Yeah, that's the whole thing. A babysitter, you're not supposed to be, even though they are distracted, you're charged at watching this person for so many hours while the parents are out at a dinner or something.
Exactly, exactly. When I was 12, 13 years old, I used to babysit a little girl that was across the street from my house. I was 12 or 13. She was about 2. And, we knew the family for years, and they knew me. They trusted me. I was old enough to go over there and watch her feeding. But even if she was older than 2, I would not have let her out of the house. I'm there to babysit her, and the time that I'm babysitting her, she stays in the house. I don't understand babysitters who say, oh, okay, well, I'm going to let the kids go out and play. No. They can go out and play when the parents come home. But while they're your responsibility or my responsibility, they don't leave the house, because if somebody kidnaps them or they get hit by a car or whatever the case may be, they fall and get hurt, it's my responsibility, because I let them go outside. I should have been watching them in the house only. So I do blame the babysitter in a way. It was partly her fault. She shouldn't have let the kid go out. He was fine.
Yep, definitely. And Billy or Bill Mooney, or how we want to pronounce his name, yeah, he did a pretty good job in this. And also later on, we'll get It's a Good Life, where,
yeah,
man, excellent. He was excellent in that one. But
yes, he was.
Pertaining to this one, I decided, well, you know what, I'll rewatch this story again. Maybe if there's something that I missed, or maybe something might have proved for me. So upon rewatching, I did bump up my rating to a 2.5. But that was about as far as I could go with this one. Very disappointing. Could have been a classic, but just had too many things against it.
Well, Felix said that he wasn't impressed with it. Felix gave it a 2 out of 5 because he hated the video quality of it, which, luckily, as I said, it was the last videotaped one. And, Felix also said he wished that Rod would have put up more of a fight with CBS over the cost cutting. However, Rod really did. Rod did not want to do this videotaping, and CBS said, oh, you know, this is going to save us a lot of money. And in the long run, they realized it saved very little money. It was minimal, and it wasn't worth
like
sacrificing.
Like 30,000, something like
yeah,
that. Yeah, it wasn't
exactly.
Very much.
It wasn't worth saving, or it wasn't worth sacrificing the quality and, you know, just the way that it looked on film, you know, to save a few dollars, that, you know, it just wasn't worth it. So they went back, and Rod fought with them and said, look, you know, you got to bring it back to filming because, you know, what we save isn't worth sacrificing the quality of the way it looks. So I'm glad that he did that.
$30,000 was a quarter of the budget of the whole series.
Yeah, but they were thinking they were going to save more than that, though. And yes, it is a savings, but not as much as they wanted.
And it was sacrificed.
To them, it was a lost cause, yeah.
It was like watching, it was like that soap opera look to it. And that's
yeah, it was Dark Shadows is basically
yeah,
what it was.
Yeah.
If you remember
yeah.
Dark Shadows,
yes, I do.
That
I
was
love
videotape. Yeah.
Yes, I love that show, but you know, that's not how the Twilight Zone should look. And it looked much better on film. So I'm glad that they did change that.
Yeah, man, it just, the way the times were back then, of the quality of tape. I mean, later on, videotape does improve. And it does get better, but nothing beats being on regular film.
I agree.
And when you're doing Blu-rays look better on film locations than studio locations, videotape anyway. So as I usually do, I found some related items that goes along with our theme. It's basically phone situations. And two of them is from one of my favorite anthology next to The Twilight Zone called Tales from the Dark Side.
Oh, God, I love that. Yeah.
Tales from the Dark Side was on for 4 years. There were some interesting stuff that I did find. One is from episode 15 of season 1, which is called Answer Me, and it starred Jean Marsh. Now, a lot of us, especially Dave, knows Jean Marsh because she has appeared in a couple of Doctor Who stories.
Yes, also Silver Nemesis.
And also Battlefield as
and
Morgana. And
also The Lonely, Twilight Zone, season 1, The Lonely, with Jack Warden.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
She played the robotic woman, yeah.
Yeah, Battlefield, sorry, that's the one I was thinking of.
Well, she was also in one that's one of the missing ones, too, back in William Harnell. Era.
Also in Upstairs, Downstairs, if you like historical dramas.
Yeah, she's been in Willow and a bunch of stuff. You can, you know, she's a very busy actress. Well, anyway, one of her TV appearances was on Tales from the Dark Side. So, play the clip from that.
I'm Case Harden. Something wrong?
That was the first hour of Spider's Kiss and you record the rest. Connie's hogging everything.
Are you sure you want to watch that, champ? It's pretty scary.
Yeah!
Well, I really think Jeffy needs the orthodontic work now, but, you know, Bill. Oh, Lois, hold on, that's the other line. Bill, could you get the other...
Where's this blank videotapes? I can't find any in the study.
Wait. I'm going to put you on hold, Lois.
Oh.
Hello?
Please, Dick.
Polly, is that you? Honey, it's Mom.
Oh.
Polly, what's wrong?
Quick, please.
Now, honey, calm down. Whatever it is, it can't be that...
Oh, no. Damn.
I decided to go ahead. I wanted to switch that around, and let me give my reason. That was the second clip that I wanted to play called Sorry, Wrong Number, and it was written by Stephen King.
Mm-hmm.
That one was a connection to 1408, which I'll bring up here in a moment. So that's why I went ahead and ran that one. It was episode 78, but the one that I mentioned with Gene Marsh, episode 15, is, and also I wanted to play the theme because I used to quote that when I was a kid, so that's why
I love it. I love that theme. That was a great show.
But here's the Answer Me one.
Hello, hello. This is Joan Matlin, the occupant of 12E speaking. I should like to inform all interested parties that the occupant of 12F is dead. She strangled herself and she is no longer accepting calls.
Operator. May I help you, please? Hello?
Yes, you can help me. I should like to have this telephone disconnected.
Please call the business office tomorrow, any time after 8 a.m. What exchange are you?
What?
What number are you calling from? Then I'll be able to tell you which branch office you should call to have your telephone disconnected.
Why, I don't know the number. It isn't on the telephone.
You don't know your own telephone number?
It isn't my telephone.
If it's not your telephone, then you can't order it disconnected.
Look, it's a telephone in an empty apartment, and it rings all day long and all night long, and it's about to drive me crazy.
We cannot disconnect a telephone except at the request of the person.
She's dead.
How did she die?
She committed suicide, probably because she was trying to deal with the phone company. Look, what number am I calling from? You should be able to...
Pills? Or a razor? Or did she strangle herself with the telephone cord?
That's why I moved that, because that one is closer to talk about was 1408. And let me put that clip on real quick.
Why don't you just kill me?
Because all guests of this hotel enjoy free will, Mr. Enslin. You can choose to relive this hour over and over, or you can take advantage of our express checkout system.
And believe me, the checkout system is not very well in this movie, per se. And the connection between Answer Me and Sorry, Right Number, and this one is the kind of the 1408 connection. And the Sorry, Wrong Number was written by Stephen King. It was one that I played first because of the movie 1408 was the connection to that as well. But, yeah, crazy phones, kind of like the technology we're having with today. So, pretty much, I give it a 2.5 out of 5, and I'll pass it on to you, Bobby.
All right, thank you, Robert. Well, I line up with Little on this. I rather like this episode, and for one specific reason, and that's because I find it creepy. And the Twilight Zone, to my way of thinking, for me personally, is always better when it has a certain creep factor to it. There's a feeling that goes up your back on certain stories, and you just feel very uneasy. And this is one of them. Because, and I also like when the Twilight Zone or the certain writers take what you expect and turn it on its head. Because grandmothers are almost always in fiction portrayed as loving, sweet little old ladies who read you fairy tales and bring you candy and do all kinds of wonderful things. And here's a grandmother so self-obsessed that she actually doesn't mind the fact that her grandson is going to miss out on his entire life just so he can join her. That's very creepy indeed. And a very unusual character, so I would give it an extra point just for being odd. If I were a writer, I would never think to portray a grandmother in such a bizarre way, because you almost never see that. You see a lot of evil parents, but usually grandparents are just, you know, there to be trusted no matter what. So I really like it for that reason. It's a rather slow story, but that creep factor is always there. So I gave it about an extra point for that. And also I thought the acting was very good. But I do have a few problems with this story in spite of my rating. One of them is, now nobody hates those hour-long stories that we haven't gotten to yet more than I do, with a few exceptions. But this is one of those stories that probably would have benefited by being in there, because you get more out of the story if you know a little bit more about the relationship between this kid and his grandmother. I mean, how close were they really? Was he with her all the time? Did they go places together? Did she work on him and tell them, and try to take over for his parents? There's not enough time in a 25-minute story to really tell that kind of story, so you don't really get it. I mean, if we had that kind of background, we might feel differently about it. So we don't really see that, and I think that's unfortunate. The other problem I have with this story is the fact that I have a bigger problem with Billy than I do with Grandma, because Billy's not a little baby. He's a little boy, it's true. But he should know better than to take Grandma's advice to go and step in front of a truck or throw himself in a swimming pool. That's very bizarre. I mean, I think any child, even back then in 1960 or 61, and certainly not today, as sophisticated as kids are, would not take such advice blindly like that. It's just ridiculous. And besides, he's got this unique thing in his hand. He's got this telephone where he can talk to his grandmother. Why not just keep your mouth shut and talk to Grandma anytime you want to? Don't tell your parents. Don't tell anybody anything. And live in this little fantasy world and just go, nobody knows it, but I talk to Grandma all the time. What's he going to get extra out of being with her? What are they going to do, go to the ball game together? I mean, it's ridiculous. He's getting the same thing now that he was getting when she was there. So there's really no reason for him to go off half-cocked like that and go and try to kill himself just to be with her. And, you know, when I was that age, I was not close to my grandmother, so I can't really relate to that degree. But I was very close to my late sister, and she helped raise me. And she died 10 years ago this coming September. And I can tell you, if she called me on the telephone, I miss her a great deal. If she called me on the telephone to talk to me, aside from being absolutely astonished and probably scared to death, I would love to talk to her. But if she said to me, I really miss you very badly, so please go to your 10th floor apartment window and jump out so we can be together again, I think I would be smart enough not to do that, and I would talk her out of it. So Billy, I'm put off by the fact that Billy's too willing to do this. And that's where the background doesn't come in, because what was it like when they were together? Did he pay attention to everything she did? Did he take her advice on everything? All of a sudden he's willing to do that. So that's a little strange to me, and I think undercuts the episode a little bit. But it still is very creepy. The other thing is the end there, where he throws himself in the pool and they rescue him. You know, the story ends and he's back and she lets him go, blah, blah, blah. But, you know, Lynn says he wasn't in there that long. Well, the fact that he survived may not be the end of the story. He may have brain damage. You don't just stop breathing for any amount of time without paying for that. I mean, it's possible, but there may be other problems. So we don't really know if Billy came back to his original way after falling in the swimming pool or jumping in there. So I'm not so sure the story is over at that point. But it's a very creepy episode. And I do want to mention something about babysitting, because like Lynn, when I was a teenager, I did a ton of babysitting, especially for our next door neighbor. They had two little girls who were about 6 and about 3. And I babysat for them all the time, including when they went away to Atlantic City on vacation. And I stayed in there overnight for several nights to watch them. And Lynn's right. You don't take your eyes off them for a minute. I'd never in a million years, I was a teenager, I would not send them outside to go play anywhere without me being there, because I didn't want to have to explain to their parents when they got home exactly what happened. So those things in the episode are a little strange, but overall, it's just kind of unnerving. That's all. It's just kind of creepy. You see, I always like stories that dare to take conventional wisdom and turn it around and say, well, don't be so sure that all grandmothers are so loving. She may be so self-obsessed and so self-absorbed that she would, you know, actually try to get her grandson back, which is really, really, really very strange. So,
Bobby, you know what I think she was doing, though?
What?
I think that she was playing psychological games with him. I think she was telling him that he was going to have all kinds of goodies if he came to... Remember at one point during the episode, he's talking on the phone, right before the mother came in and grabbed the phone from him, he said, can I have a chocolate ice cream cone? I think she was telling him that if you come with me, you'll have ice cream, and you'll have all the toys you want. I think she was playing games with him, telling him that...
Well, if he wants to be with her, why won't he miss his parents? Don't you think he should have said at some point, but I'll never see my mom and dad again?
Because
how old is he supposed to be in this story?
Five.
Well,
so it's very easy. They're very vulnerable at that age. I think that she was telling him, you can have all the toys you want. You can have goodies and ice cream. When you're 5 years old, you think your parents aren't telling you that. And he loved his grandmother so much, and she's promising him everything in the world. And so she says, all you got to do is, you know, jump in front of a car and it'll be painless and you can be with me. And she's probably telling them that you won't feel a thing and you can be with grandma forever. Because remember what she said to him? Oh, you can be with me forever. You know, we can go away forever together, just us. Yeah, she was a little...
I think it's just the grandmother was lonely is what it all comes down to. She lost her son to, you know, her daughter-in-law. And now, you know... The only one there to keep her company is Billy, and that's what it basically came down to.
Yeah, she played on his mind, making him think that if he came to her, he'd have all kinds of fun things. And that, you know, 5 years old, that's hard to resist.
In the real world, the people don't get to talk to the dead on the telephone.
Exactly.
So I think that they should have been happy with that and said, look, let's be reasonable here. I'm not going to die over this, but I sure would like to continue to talk to you on the phone. And that would have been it. But for purposes of the story, of course, it has to be a little more extreme than that. So,
a 5-year-old wouldn't be that smart either.
I'm not suggesting that a child can't be, you know, talked into that kind of thing, but I don't know. Maybe it's just that I've been watching Billy Mumy for too many years, and he seems a little smarter than that in real life. So he's been through too many stories and too many things to buy into a crazy grandma who says walk in front of a car. So, but basically, like I said, likely and I gave it a 4, and I think it's not bad. Now, I went, as I do for most stories, I went to the Internet Movie Database, and everybody loved it over there. They gave it a 7.6 out of 10, which is a little higher than I would have done. So people like it.
No. Sorry, 4 out of 5 is 80%.
Oh, you mean for me?
Yeah, you've given it higher.
Well, yeah, I guess you're right. If I wanted to translate it into their ratings, I guess I would have given it an 8. But I don't view it that way. I view our ratings a little bit different than theirs. But anyway, it's pretty good, but I agree with Robert. It's not. It might have been a classic episode if a few other things were fleshed out a little more and it had a little more meaning to it, but it's just such a short story. I don't really know exactly what kind of relationship you have to have with your grandmother to be so easily swayed. But it's creepy, and that's what I like about certain episodes in the Twilight Zone. They're just creepy. They just unnerve you. After it's over, you just think to yourself, you know, it's going up my back. It's kind of bizarre. So I'll stick with my 4. That's it for me, Lynn.
Okay. Dave?
Well, if you don't mind, I haven't actually seen this one. I've got a few comments to make and maybe something on next week. So if Rick Wall's seen it, I'd rather he went next.
Oh, okay. Sure. Rick? You mean Rick?
All right.
Yep. Yeah, Rick, go ahead.
Well, I agree with Bobby. It did creep me out. It's one of, I think, Beaumont's creepier ones, along with Howling Man. I disagree. I'm from the school of less is more. I like that it was a half an hour or 20 minutes or whatever. Could they have put Grandma's voice in it? Yeah, but I don't know. Like I said, you know, as you all know, I'm a producer director of a low budget thing called Harrow House. I left a lot, quote unquote, unexplained. Because as I said, to me, less is more. Let the people fill in the blanks on their own.
Leave it to their imagination, Jimmy. Yeah.
Yeah.
Like radio. Radio was less, but it was more in the mind.
Right.
Right.
Made you think.
Exactly. The only thing that's holding me back and giving it a higher rating is that, for once, I agree with you guys with the videotape. It sucks.
It does.
Really?
Suck.
Rick?
Yes.
Really?
Yes.
That sucks.
thank God they developed it a little more when they did do Dark Shadows.
Yeah.
Oh, yes. I love
but
that.
But I think they mixed it. I think they mixed videotaping and film, but I think a majority of Dark Shadows was videotape, wasn't it, Rick?
Yes,
it
was.
Yep.
Yeah. And it was shot on, I believe it was shot at 40 Rock. I'm not sure.
Hmm.
30 Rock, I mean. You know what I meant.
New York.
Anywho. So I'd give it a 3.
Well, that's good.
Hmm.
That's
good.
Yeah, that's good.
You know, I was noticing on our site that, you know, we had a lot of people give it a 4. It looked like about 8 people gave it a 4, but we had one person to give it a lousy. And so there is a vast difference between what people felt about this story. So,
well, there was one member who came in, and she said she thought it was morbid and depressing. She hated it. And, you know, we all kind of came back, and I think about 3 or 4 of us said, well, it really wasn't morbid and depressing. It was eerie. It was a little creepy. It was disturbing, the fact that she wanted him to commit suicide. But I wouldn't say it was morbid and depressing. He was happy talking to his grandmother. It was depressing when she died, and he was upset, but he was happy talking to her. And then at the end, okay, you thought he was going to die, but then you knew. You kind of knew he was going to come back, and he comes back at the end, so it has a happy ending. So,
you didn't think some people would think it's morbid talking to a dead person?
Not if you're not creeped out by it. I mean, if the person was creeped out by it, then yeah, I'd say, well, yeah, it's morbid. You've got this dead person calling her grandson. And he's scared to death. You know, he's being freaked out by it. I'd say, well, that's morbid. That's depressing. You know, the poor kid. But he was thrilled to death talking to his grandmother, even though she was dead. So it was disturbing in a way, but it wasn't, I wouldn't say it was really morbid, because he was happy. It was making him just absolutely thrilled.
Well, back then, it was different. Today, you got goth-looking kids. You got CSI. Let's talk morbid here. What things are not morbid today?
Yeah,
well, Time Enough to Last was morbid and depressing, and everybody loves that. So.
Yeah.
I mean, was left the only one in the world that sat there talking to himself and crying because his glasses broke? That's pretty morbid and depressing, too.
Bob, Robert, I mean, you also forgot the Friday the 13th series.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
There are a lot of
Twilight Zones that are more morbid and depressing than that one. I mean, you know, you have Judgment Night, you have Death's Head Revisited. I mean, there are morbid.
Yeah, Resident Evil, all four or five movies. Resident Evil.
Yeah. That's morbid and depressing. No, I didn't think this was morbid and depressing at all. I thought it was more disturbing and eerie. But no, I didn't, that's why like 3 or 4 people got on the group and said, why is it morbid and depressing? The kid lived at the end, and he was happy the whole time he was talking to her. The only probably morbid part was her trying to get him to commit suicide, but that was more disturbing than morbid. But
and
I
feel for the son. About having to choose between wife and his future wife and his mother. I mean, that's a thing that goes on in reality as well. And you know, I don't give too much personal situations about myself, but you know, I had a similar situation that I just mentioned, having to choose between my mother or who I'm married to, and the person I've been married to about 20 years now. So
it's difficult, and the grandmother did constantly try to take attention away from her. You know, she used to try to take the boy's attention away from the mother and focus it on her. You know, as I said in my review there, you know, the mother hands him a gift, says, here, this is the gift that you really wanted. So, you know, open this one next. And as soon as the grandmother saw that, she said, oh, no, don't you want to see what grandmother bought for you? And he ran over and he saw the mother looking like, you know, what is this, you know? And the father, of course, he felt bad, but he was like, what does he do? Tell the grandmother, you know, shut up, let him open his mother's gift first, or does he just...
Well, he was a wimp till he got on the phone and told her off.
He was a wimp, yeah, because it seemed like he was kind of a mama's boy in a way. He was a little bit of a mama's boy, and he went, you know, he didn't stick up for his wife enough. When the mother told Billy to blow out the candle, of course, the grandmother has to cut the cake instead of the mother cutting the cake. She says, oh, I can cut the cake. And then she says, you got to make a wish. What'd you wish for? And the mother says, well, you know, can't we all hear about the wish? No, it's between Billy and Grandmom. And it's just that she wanted all of the boys' attention. And it wasn't fair to the mother. And the father should have stepped in a little more on that. Yeah. So he was a wimp.
Dave, I wanted to ask you, since you missed the last show, how did you feel about the Prime Mover, just to get your
Let me just make a few comments about this particular one, then. I'm very pleased that Bobby's rated something a 4. As long as I've been on the show, I don't think I've ever heard him give anything such high praise, so that's great. It does sound spooky. I will try and catch it at a later date. The Bill Money young man, obviously this was a couple of years before he was on his main sci-fi show. As you said, he's in It's
Lost
Still
in
a
Space.
Good Life, but apparently he also wrote an episode of the new Twilight Zone called Lost and Found, which was in 2002.
Mm-hmm.
I also thought that Robert might have mentioned another Doctor Who, and that was The Empty Child.
The
phone rings and he says, are you my mummy? Because he's trying to get in thing. There was also another ghostly show that was here in the UK called you mentioned Gene Marsh, but this was called Marshlands. And it was based on a series CBS did, I think, in the States called The Oaks, which was about a young child that actually drowned. And during the course of this series, this young girl that's in the house has this ghost girl come and visit her. And you keep thinking it's the girl's imagination until very occasionally this girl who had drowned, you see wet handprints on furniture or on the mirror. And more and more as the show progresses, you realise that there's something more to this than the child being, an upset or a disturbed child. So that was called, as I say, Marshlands, but spelt with a C, not an S. And it was based on a series called The Oaks in America. And I think, let me have a quick look, that was in 2008. It was on the US Fox Network. So...
Dave, Bill Mummy was also in the Twilight Zone movie.
Huh?
He was Bill Mummy.
Yeah, he
Bill
makes an appearance.
He makes an appearance in the remake of It's a Good Life.
Yep, he's the father.
Yeah, was he the father, or was he? No, he was actually the one in the diner who stuck up for
playing the
little
video
kid.
Game.
Oh, right.
He goes and tries to stick up with the little kids playing the video game, and the owner says, you know, get out of here. You know, you never buy anything or whatever. And Bill Mummy comes up and he sticks up for him. And you're thinking that's the thing. And he's reprising Bill Mummy's role.
Is that a different one then? Because I'm reading from the wiki page here. He was in an episode, It's Still a Good Life. That was February 2003.
Sequence.
Yeah, that's
the sequence.
Mm-hmm.
From the new Twilight Zone. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, while you mentioned that, I wanted to say that Lynn and I have just rented the 82-83 remake of the series from Netflix, and we're going to be watching it over the next week or so. So we might have something to say about that. Lynn tells me that they remade The After Hours as one of the worst things she's ever seen. So I'm
oh, my God, that was the most horrible remake I have ever seen of any of the Zone episodes. It was just horrendous. Somebody, whoever remade that should be shot.
before I give Rick Wall a chance to mention, yes, the Prime Mover, unfortunately I couldn't make it last week, but I enjoyed that. I'm not going to labour the point, but I did really enjoy it. Obviously, it was nice to see Buddy Ebsen in the show. Like a few people, when I listened back to the recording, it wasn't totally clear at the end. Well, perhaps it was that he hadn't actually got exhausted, but he'd pretended to be exhausted because the guy was just going totally berserk with his. He lost his girlfriend and all that.
Exactly.
Simply because he got the bug, didn't he? The gambling bug. And then we have the bit at the end where you think all his powers are gone, and he manages to pick his broom up again. But he did it very slowly. It wasn't really clear whether he'd actually pretended that he'd lost his power or his powers were just coming back, because it took quite a bit of effort for him to actually get his mop back up at the end. I think what they should have done really is when they're not looking and he brings his mop, he should have brought it up absolutely instantly and easily, thereby reinforcing the fact that he'd pretended to be, zonked out with his psychic powers. But I did quite enjoy it, and I'd certainly give that one 3.5 out of 5. I'm not going to give a rating for this one. It wouldn't be fair. I haven't seen it. But I don't know whether Rick Wall wants to briefly mention also about the Prime Mover.
I enjoyed that one thoroughly. I thought it was one of the better ones this season. And in some parts, it kind of creeped me out, that he had that kind of power to do stuff like that. And I'd probably give it a 4.
Oh, yeah, that's cool. I think it rhymed, what was Robert? I think it rhymed like between threes and fours, didn't it?
Fours Prime and twos. Mover. Yeah, everything except for a 4.5 and a 5. Yeah.
Yeah, it rhymed pretty good. Okay, then. Do we have somebody else in here?
Yep.
McMadio. Okay. Nice to see you. Thank you for joining us. Okay. And so does anybody else have anything to say about Long Distance Call?
Yeah.
Nope.
This could have been better.
Yeah.
That was it. Be honest about it. Could have been better. And I really would have wanted it too, but that's the way it goes.
It scared me. I'm afraid to pick up the phone now.
Yeah, well, if that scares you, wait till we get to Night Call. That's yeah, that really freaks me out.
I think that's for you, Bobby.
No, I'm not home. Tell them I'm not here.
Yeah, Night Call really creeps me out. So when we get to that one, that's going to be fun to talk about. Okay, well, 2 weeks from now, which is going to be August 27th, we're going to be talking about 100 Yards Over the Rim, starring Cliff Robertson. It's one that I thoroughly enjoy. So I am hoping that everybody can make it for that one. And I'm right, that's the 27th, isn't it, Robert? 2 weeks from now?
Two weeks from to now, yes, it is. And
Okay. Also,
it's going to be great to talk about that, because Cliff Robertson, if people remember, too, one of his later movies, he played the president in Escape to L.A.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yep.
I forgot about that. Yeah, this, I believe, is one of two Twilight Zone episodes that he does, this one and The Dummy. So, and that comes much later.
Oh, yeah, creepy. It's about creepy.
Yeah.
Yeah, well. All right, so 2 weeks from now, the 27th, 100 Yards Over the Rim. So I do wish everyone a very happy weekend, and I hope to see everyone then.
Bye-bye.
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 Bye, everybody, and hope technology works well for you.
Yes.
I hope so. It always knocked me off 6 times, that's all.
Bye, all everybody.
Bye-bye.
We had some, and you can tell from the show, we had some technical difficulties with this show. So I thought I'd put in outtakes from today's show. So enjoy.
I am
you
here.
Hey, Rick.
Hey, guys.
Howdy.
Yeah, Skype wouldn't let me in either.
Oh, someone was calling there.
Long distance.
Yeah.
You're off. I don't hear you on the phone.
Yep, you got knocked off, Lynn.
She's off again.
She could
tell me to tell you, Robert, she told me to tell you to take over the show.
Well, I'll take off as soon as she, until she gets on, but that's what editing, wonderful thing, so.
Which bothers Billy's mother very much.
Oh, my.
You're off.
Oh.
No, you're back.
Oh, okay.
Quickly before you go off again, Liz.
You think you people are throwing this off purpose. Grabs the phone from him one night and hears his grandmother.
You're off again.
Paula, trying to reconnect you.
You would think in this century, technology would be better in 2011. We still get the same crap we put up with the 70s and 80s and so on.
And what sane rational person?
And what sane rational person would have this kind of technology like we do today?
You're off again.
Yes, it's right.
Oh, my.
Devotion to two women, his wife and his mother. From his mother focusing it on herself, the of Billy had to deal with it.
I'm going to put some outtakes on this show, Dave. Edit it and then put outtakes on all the problems we had today with this show. Like, wow.
Very, very strange.
I know.
But to be fair, it's been mostly Skype's fault.
Yeah, it's true, but still it's technology that you would think, as I mentioned, 2011 we're in, that technology should be a wonderful thing. It still has its problems like other things, so. That's what I say, too. We're living in the Twilight Zone today.